have your Bibles. Ruth chapter 1. When Susan and I were kind of interested in each other, a long time ago, I went to school first, and she came later. And in that interim, every day we would write letters back and forth. If I only had the money for all those stamps back, I just, wow. But every day we'd write a letter, and every day on the bottom of the letter, it would have Ruth 1, 16 and 17. So this passage has always been sort of a romantic passage to me. Between her and I, it was kind of a covenant together. And then this week, I don't know why, but I read this passage again. And I just want to speak to you this morning about being used of God to help somebody else. Being used of God to help somebody else. I want you to notice a little bit. I just want you to see three simple things. Number one, I want you to listen to Naomi's faults. I want you to listen to them. Now, I want you to notice Naomi is the second character in this passage. Ruth is the first character. But you'll notice that Naomi has to leave her homeland due to a famine. You'll notice, if you would, in verse number 1 of Ruth 1. And now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. And so you'll notice that her and her husband, they go into a foreign land, the land of Moab, Elimelech, her husband. And they had two boys. And you'll notice in verse 2, the two sons were named Mahlon and Chilion. Now, they both died in the land of Moab, but they grew up there. And you'll notice that Naomi has had a really hard time of it. Now, I want you to get a picture of Naomi. Number one, she leaves and she's all full and she's excited and she's young and she's got a wonderful husband and they move into a foreign land. And they're really moving due to a problem that they can't fix, but they probably shouldn't have moved. And so they made a mistake at the beginning, but they're so excited everything's going to be okay. They move to the land of Moab, and when they do, then she lets her two sons start hanging around two girls that he shouldn't have. They were not saved. They didn't know the Lord. And they worshiped false gods, but they were sweet girls. Now, by the way, that happens an awful lot in our society. Christian young people find somebody that's nice and kind, and they begin to date them, and their directions are like this. And so, even though that's not the message, that's exactly what happened here. Well, long story short, her two sons both died. Now, the two daughter-in-laws are living with Naomi. And so now her heart is sad. She's in the wrong place. She's in a foreign land, has no friends, no family. She has two daughter-in-laws she needs to take care of. Sort of like her responsibility now. She has no husband. Her husband's died. She has no sons. They have died. So she has no really future to help take care of her. And so she's very, very, very discouraged. Anybody ever been that way? I mean, it seems like the whole world's against you. It seems like God has turned his back. So that's Naomi. And you'll notice the attitude that Naomi has, and I want you to see, not only is she discouraged, but she's grown bitter. Look with me, if you would, in Ruth chapter 1. Notice, if you would, in verse number 19. So they two went until they came to Bethlehem. Now, this is Ruth and Naomi. And it came to pass when they were come to Bethlehem that all the city was moved about them. Now, keep in mind, it's a city, but everybody knows each other. And so when you go into the city, everybody heard, hey, Naomi's back, Naomi's back. And they said, is this Naomi? The city did. In verse 20, and she said unto them, call me not Naomi, call me Mara. Mara is the Hebrew word for bitter. I'm angry at everybody. I'm angry at God. My life is miserable. I hate life. Just change my name from Naomi, which means blessed and pleasant, to Mara, bitter. Anybody here want to do that? You can see the state that Naomi's in. It's a horrible place. Have you ever gone into a retirement home? Maybe someone is there and they don't want to be there, and they feel like their family's forsaken them and thrown them in there. And you go in and they're just mad at the world. A nurse comes up to them and said, "Hey, take your medicine." "I don't want to." "Hey, would you?" "I don't want to." "Here, would you eat your food?" "I don't want to." And so you can look at them and say, "Change your name from Naomi Pleasant to, man, she's bitter. She's an angry old woman." That was Naomi. Listen to the faults of Naomi. Now, understand, Naomi was a pleasant, sweet lady for many, many years. But circumstances have changed her. Now, all of us in this room, we know people that circumstances have changed them. The circumstance of the world has changed them. Circumstances of health have changed them. Circumstances of finances have changed them. Circumstances that are just beyond their control, some of them are their responsibility. And they don't care. They're just different now. You could label them, look at, man, she's Mara. He's Mara. So, listen to Naomi's faults as she goes in. And notice, if you would, in verse 20, "Call me not Naomi, call me bitter, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me." Verse 21, "I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty." So who is she blaming? She's blaming the God of heaven. Who controls life and death? God does. So it's very easy for her to say, "I went out full, and God has brought me home empty. I'm angry at God." You know what? Everybody in this room, we have to be careful. A, that we don't become like Naomi. But B, what do you do with Naomi? What do we do with the Naomis of this world? Maybe some of you have a Naomi in your family. Maybe you have an Elimelech. Maybe not. It wasn't Naomi. It wasn't Elimelech that died. It was Naomi that died, and all the sons died, and the daughter-in-laws were left to Elimelech. Maybe you have a man in your family that's bitter, angry at God, that doesn't mind everybody knowing it. Now, you see the flaws that are in Naomi's life. You know, whenever you go to those nursing homes or retirement homes and you see somebody like that, do you notice one thing? They don't have many friends. They don't have many people trying to care for them. They're usually alone. "He that hath," and that's scriptural. I don't think it's right, but it's a scriptural principle. "He that hath friends must show himself friendly." Now, folks, that's everybody in this room. So the principle of God is you can come to church and not talk to anybody. You can do whatever you want to and not talk to anybody. But if you have no one to shake your hand, no one to be friendly to, no one's friendly to you, then you got to look in the mirror and say, "He that has friends must show himself friendly." You got to put a smile on your face and you got to go to somebody and say, "Hey, it's good to see you this morning." Hey, you can't let yourself become Mara. Because there is a God in heaven that does control circumstances, and He makes no mistakes. You and I have to know that. And I hope to show you this morning that God didn't make a mistake here. Yet, all of us in this room, when we look at it from the short-sightedness of 70 years of our human life and existence, we say God did make a mistake. That's when we have to remember the words of Job, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him." All of us in this room have to learn to trust the Lord with a faith that is so comfortable that you know He would never send you out full and bring you back empty unless He's got a purpose and a plan. Job could have said this exact same thing. But what was the difference between Job and Naomi? Job refused to let his heart. And his wife said, "Why don't you know?" Listen to this. Job's wife looked at him when he lost his wealth, his family, and his health. She looked at him and said, "Why don't you just curse God and die?" You want to know why? We know God controls everything. He's at fault. curse him and let him kill you. Because when you curse God, you're cursing the one that has the power to take life and breath from you. So Job, just go ahead. Your life is so miserable for you. Why don't you just curse God and let him kill you? That's exactly what his wife was saying. The circumstances broke her. You could have probably looked at her and said, Mara. There's a lot of Maras in the Bible. Do you understand? There's a lot of Maras in this world. There may even be some Maras in this room. Oh, maybe not to the point where you publicly get up and say, hey, just call me Mara. I'm bitter, angry at God. I'm mad at the world. Maybe that's not you. But on the inside, it is. What do we do with those people? Let me ask this question. How many of you know somebody that's struggling like this? Oh, they may not be standing up saying, call me Mara, but you know there's something going on in their heart. They're just struggling. They're not the same person they were. How many of you know somebody like that? Raise your hand. Let me see your hand all over the building. Look at all these hands all over the building. Now, what do we do with those people? Listen very carefully. I want you to notice you got to listen to Naomi's faults. You got to listen and see what's going on in somebody's life. We have to learn to listen. Now, Naomi, if she didn't mind telling everybody how things were and how bitter she was and how angry she was. But I want you to notice to look at the focus of Ruth. Look at Ruth's focus. I want you to see this. You can see you got to listen to Naomi's flaws, but I want you to see and look at Ruth's focus. I want you to notice verse 16. Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee. Now, Orpah, the other daughter-in-law, said much the same thing. She said, look, I'm never going to leave you. Notice what she says. In verse number 14, they lifted up their voice and wept again. Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, and Ruth clave to her. So Orpah had said the same thing, but she was going back. Now, I want you to notice how bitter Naomi was. Watch this. Verse 12. Turn again, my daughters. Go your way. For I'm too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should say a husband also tonight should also bear sons, would you tarry for them till they were grown? In other words, I have no children to bear. There's no one else for you to marry in my family. Go back to your families. And notice what happens in verse number 13. Would you stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. Again, blaming God. Notice in verse 15 what she says. She said, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people. They were people of the world, but notice this. And unto her, look at this, gods. You know what she actually did? She sent her away from finding the Lord. Wow. Now, that's how bitter and angry we can get toward God, is to where we don't care about the souls of people. We don't care if they go to heaven or hell. Just go back. Now, I don't think she meant to say, Orpha, go on back and go to hell. I don't think she meant to say that. I think she was saying, go on back to your gods, and it was just a solution to her problem. Naomi had become very selfish. And she looks at Ruth and says, hey, you go back to your gods too. But notice the focus of Ruth. Ruth had seen something in the God of Naomi. I think there was a time when her and her husband prayed together. Maybe he tried to lead her to Christ. She hadn't trusted Christ yet. But she had a respect for their God. God singular. Jehovah. Notice if you would. Verse 16, and Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee. Please don't plead with me to leave you or return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. Where thou lodgest, I will lodge. And thy people shall be my people and thy, notice this, God, my God. In verse 17, where thou diest, will I die. There will I be buried. The Lord, Yahweh, do so to me and more also if aught but death part thee and me. I want you to notice, look in chapter 2 and verse 12. Whenever Ruth had gone back to the land of Israel and she was there laboring, notice what was said about her. Look in verse 12. The Lord recompense thy work and a full reward be given thee of, here it is, the Lord Yahweh, God of Israel, unto whose wings thou art come to trust. So Ruth trusted the Lord as her Savior. She trusted the God of heaven as her own. she not only wanted to say, I want to follow you, Naomi, and I want to be with you, Naomi, but I want your God for my God. So somehow, in the midst of all that bitterness, she had trusted the Lord as Savior. But I want you to notice there's a focus about her. There's a focus that I think came from this great God that she saw, and I want that God for my own. And I want you to notice she fell in love with Naomi. She loved her. Now, folks, today, I just want you to see some things that we've got to do. And I want you to see Ruth's focus. Some things got to happen in our life if we're going to help somebody who can't help themselves. There's a lot of people in this world that cannot help themselves. There's a lot of people in this room that cannot work together and they cannot take care of themselves. They don't know how to do that. And so I want you to understand. Here, let me help you here. Okay, let me help you go back. Okay, I'll take care of you. All right, let's go right back here. Brother Drew's going to take you. That's great. All right. There's a lot of people that cannot help themselves. And you know what we have to do? We have to love them. Now, you know what? You may not get much out of it. You know what? I don't think that Naomi gave much to this relationship of her daughter-in-law and her. I don't think she got much from it. I think it was a one-way street. I think she was just trying to help her mother-in-law and just trying to and listened and tolerated all the bitterness and the blaming of God. And you know what? Sometimes you and I, we just have to listen to Naomi and love them anyway. We're probably not good at that. In America, it's about profit and loss. It's about what I put in, I need to get that same amount back plus a little. And so in our relationships, you'll notice an awful lot of people running out on each other because I'm not getting much out of the relationship. Did you understand that a marriage is all in? It's not 50 in and 50 out. If you don't get much out of it, you're all in. Do you understand that that's what he says? If you're going to reach people, if you're going to help people, if you're going to learn to carry somebody that cannot help themselves, you've got to love them no matter what. Do you understand that Ruth looked over the bitterness? She looked over the anger. Did you notice another thing? Look here. I want you to notice this. Look down in verse number two. This is chapter 2, verse 2. Now, they have nothing to eat. They're living someplace that apparently somebody loaned them a room or a place to live. And they have no income, no way to eat. And notice what Ruth does. And Ruth the Moabite said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, go, my daughter. In other words, you go make a living. I'm not going to do it. Do you understand what Ruth was having to deal with? Ruth was having to deal with bitterness every day. I can't believe God's done this to me. She was having to deal with the attitude of I don't care anymore. The loss of all of her dreams, the hopelessness. And she loved her mother-in-law no matter what. She put her arms around her and said, look, I'm going to go into the field today and I'm going to get enough food for you and me together. Where are those kind of people that forget themselves to help someone that cannot help themselves? Do you understand? Ruth is a tremendous example to all of us in this room. It's an example to a husband to take care of his wife, no matter what. It's an example to a husband, to a wife to take care of her husband, no matter what. It's an example to a brother taking care of a sister, or a sister taking care of a brother, or a friend to a neighbor, or a co-worker to a co-worker. It's whenever you, the Lord burdens your heart, and you begin to look at someone that nobody cares about, nobody wants to be around, and you look at them and say, look, can I be a blessing? And so you look at it and say, not what am I going to get out of it, but what can I do to be a blessing? Lord, can I help? Would you let me be a help? And so you may get stepped on a little bit. You may get run down a little bit. You may get your heart broken a little bit. But the focus is not on what you and I get out of it. Is how can I be a blessing? How can somehow I bring her into a relationship with Jesus Christ so that she realizes that God is not a God of hatred and bitterness? You see, you and I represent the Lord. But you and I, many times we get so caught up in our own world that we're going to work and we're doing this and we're doing that, that we forget there's people that God says, look, I need you to love that person. Yeah, but Lord, who wants to love that person? Have you heard them talk? Lord, have you seen their attitude? Their attitude stinks and lousy. How many of you know somebody's got a bad attitude? Anybody here in this room got a bad attitude? You know, no, I'm not saying we have one. I'm saying somebody else we know has one, okay? Anybody here? How about, you know, a parent that's got children maybe that they're wayward and they're out of the house and they have a bad attitude. You know what? You have to love them without much hope of getting anything in return. Somebody has got to care. Do this. Take a deep breath. You just breathe God's air to do something God wants you to do. Everybody in this room, are you doing it? We're not here to build buildings. We're not here to amass wealth. We're here to make a difference in things that matter. And the only things that matter that's going to heaven are people. You're not going to take your beautiful gold ring and beautiful gold necklaces and nice clothes and nice car out there. It's all staying. But you can help somebody that can't help themselves. But you got to have Ruth's focus. I don't care about me. I'm going to invest my heart. Now that's dangerous. Because when you invest your heart, you can get it stepped on. And you probably will get it hurt. I'll never forget my mother taking care of my grandmother. Now, my grandmother's in her middle 80s, late 80s, and my grandmother was the sweetest lady in the world, but something happened when she got older, and she just couldn't see the things the way things really were, and she would get upset with my mom, and I'd see my mom just cry, and she didn't know what she was doing. And I have to look at my mom, and I say, Mom, you know she loves you. You know, she doesn't know what she's doing. She said, I know, but it still hurts. That's when you have to take it to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm going to love them anyway. Where are the Ruths? Where are the Barnabases? Where are the people that care about the unlovable? But I want you to notice, I want you to see this. She provided very little for the relationship, but apparently Ruth went out and labored and brought back food. And so Ruth does the right thing in front of her every day. Ruth goes out to the field. Now, in this day, they didn't have welfare. But what they did have was they had the rule that God had put in place that you could not cut or harvest the edge of your fields. So I can remember my grandfather when we were out, we were planting hay or we were planting wheat or corn or whatever. In the very corners of the field, it was usually a low spot or it was usually a spot that was underneath the trees or it was a corner where the seed would not grow as much. So the fruit or the wheat or the harvest was less than normal in the middle of the field. But in this day, the rule was you cannot harvest the corners of your field. Leave that for those people that don't have anything. So you'll notice, if you would, in verse number two, she said unto her, go, my daughter. This is chapter 2, verse 2. And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers. Now, so she goes in and they're cutting down. Now, they've got sickles and they cut the wheat down and it falls over in their arm. They wrap it up and leave it there on the ground. They keep going. And so they leave the corners. So they have to go with their own sickle and cut them down. Usually they'd use a knife and cut it down. And then they would winnow it and they would come home with a jar of wheat and they could make their bread that way. Well, Ruth did that for Naomi. She made a living for Naomi. But while she was doing the right thing, and folks, everybody's got to understand this. There's a God in heaven that watches while you do the right thing, God steps in. And I want you to see this. You've got to understand this. I want you to listen to the flaws of Naomi. I want you to look to Ruth's focus. She had single focus. I'm going to do what's right. I'm going to honor the Lord. I'm going to honor my mother-in-law. And then I want you to notice, you got to learn that God is faithful. Look, if you would, in verse number 3. And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And her, and I like this, it's underlined in my Bible. Her happen chance, her luck, if you would. Notice this, was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. Now, you and I don't understand what that means, but you're going to catch it in just a second. So she goes out and just, I'm going to look for a field I can go work in. So she goes out and she starts working in this field. And it just happened to be one of her kinfolks. She didn't know it. But notice what happens when God steps in and Naomi sees it. Look here. Look with me, if you would, in verse number 4. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, the Lord be with you. And they blessed him. The Lord blessed him. So Boaz has got a great relationship with his workers. He's a very godly man. And you'll notice, if you would, in verse number 8. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. And let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. I have not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee. In other words, I want you to glean among the my own maidens, that they're getting food from me. You glean among them. You don't have to cut your own anymore in the corners of the field. You just go through with my people and get all that you want. So here all of a sudden now, she's in a place where God is taking care of her, making her job easier, and begin to heap blessings upon her because she overlooked the faults of Naomi. And she looked and said, I want to do the right thing for the Lord's sake. So now she's beginning to reap and doesn't even realize it yet. But notice, if you would, in verse number 11. And Boaz answered and said unto her, it hath been fully showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband. Everybody talked about how good she was to her bitter, old, mean-spirited mother-in-law. Even Boaz had heard about it. And notice with me, if you would, in verse number 15, and when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not. And let also some of the handfuls of purpose for her. Let fall some of the handfuls on purpose. So watch this. So his servants are out there, and they're gleaning the fields, and they're cutting it. And they see her behind with his maidens. They're gleaning, making food, getting food for him. And so he's instructed his workers, you cut it down. When you see Ruth, you take that bag, that armful of wheat, and you take some of it and you throw it on the ground. So she didn't have to cut it, make it easy for her. Now that's what God does for us. He puts down handfuls on purpose. And we have to learn to trust him. Hey, the way the Lord provides for our education, the way the Lord provides for a car, the way the Lord provides for a house, the way handfuls on purpose, the way the Lord provides for the right doctor at the right time, for the Lord provides for a job at the right time, handfuls on purpose. When we turn and say, I want to do right, I want to have the focus that Ruth had, I'm going to love people, I'm going to forgive, I'm not going to look at all the bitterness and the anger, I'm not going to be that way, I'm going to pick up somebody and carry them. I'm going to help somebody. And that's where all of us as God's children have got, at one point in your life, you got to forget yourself, stop looking in the mirror and say, what can I do, Lord? How can I be a blessing to you? And he says, go help Naomi. Okay, I'll get up and I'll carry her. Because she's not going to help you and she's not going to be nice to you. But you're doing it for my sake. Now, I want you to notice what happens. So all of a sudden, Ruth is going and she's telling her mother, she says, and they're just dropping handfuls of purpose for me. And I mean, it's like they're doing it on purpose and I'm picking it up and they don't say anything. And he's told me not to leave the field, to stay right there. Isn't this wonderful? And notice what happens in verse number 20 of chapter 2. And Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, blessed be he of the Lord. She's starting to dream a little bit. She's starting to see that God's not against her. Because of Ruth's focus and her faithfulness, she's beginning to realize there's a God in heaven and he hadn't forsaken me. Notice what he says. Blessed be he of the Lord who hath not left his kindness to the living, left oft his kindness to the living and to the dead. There's a God in heaven. He's coming back to me. He's watching out for me. But this would have never happened had Ruth not forgotten herself and said, I'm just going to do what's right. Naomi, I'll pick you up and I'll carry you. Who can you carry today on your knees? Who can you carry financially helping out? Who can you carry emotionally? Notice if you would. Naomi said unto her, this man is near of kin to us, one of our next kinsmen. And you know what? She knew what that meant. No, we don't have time to finish the story. But let me just tell you this. The story ends like this. Boaz is a near kinsman. He has the right in this society to marry Ruth and raise up children to Naomi's name. And so there's an investment there that he makes that he gets nothing back for it. I'm going to raise up children to Mahlon and Chilion. But I will do it because I love Ruth and what she has done. I love her sweetness and her character. And so to make a long story short, he marries Ruth. And guess what God does? God lets that son that is born be great, 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 great grandfather of Jesus Christ. Wow. Because of the faithfulness of Ruth. Notice this. I want you to get this. Take your Bible and turn to Ruth 4. Notice, if you would, in verse 13. Ruth 4:13. So Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. And look at verse 14. And the women said unto Naomi, blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel. And he said unto thee, and he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life. Hey, Naomi, hope is again. Hey, Naomi, life is not all over. Naomi, there's no reason to be bitter anymore. The Lord is fighting for you now. Notice, if you would, a nourisher of thine old age for thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee. That's why we don't treat people like Ruth did. Because you haven't learned to love people in spite of what we get back. Folks, you can win a lot of people to Christ. You can win a lot of people back to righteousness. We can bring a lot of people that are wavered back to the Lord if we forget what they're like and their flaws and love them anyway. But it's hard on us. That's why we're here, to make a difference. Keep reading for just a minute. For thy daughter-in-law which loveth thee, which is better to thee than seven sons, hath borne him. Now, folks, who are we better to than what seven sons can provide? That was Ruth. What a daughter-in-law. Notice with me, if you would. I love the passage. Verse 14. You'll see the final thing, that because Ruth did the right thing, who gets the praise? Notice verse 14. And the women said unto Naomi, blessed be the Lord. We can see the Lord has done this. Blessed be the Lord. The Lord has done this. Well, only God could bring a bitter old Naomi back from where she was to a lady that has got a restorer of life in her life that's going to take care of her in her old age. That, wow, God has been so good to you, and now she's full again. A long time ago, in the midst of a difficult trial, Mary Stevenson wrote a little poem. It's become famous the world over. Many a time in difficulties, no one cares for us. We don't have a Ruth. Can't tell you this? Ruths are very rare. But they're not supposed to be. God told Isaiah, I have sought for a man that will stand in the gap for me. I've sought for somebody that will love so-and-so. I've sought for somebody else that will love so-and-so. But I can't find one. There's no more Ruths. There's no more Barnabases. You remember Barnabas and Paul got together and they were going to go out on a missions trip. And John Mark had quit. He had failed. He had a very poor testimony and he had faults and failures. And Paul said, I don't want that kid with us. He's a quitter. And Barnabas said, yeah, but I love him. I want him to go with us. And they split apart. And Paul admitted later, I was wrong. Barnabas was a New Testament Ruth. And by the way, if he were not have been the way he was and loved Mark, we wouldn't have the second book of the New Testament. Barnabas loved a quitter. I'm not going to get much out of this, but I want to reach him. I want to walk with the Lord and let him see it. Sometimes when we have nobody else, there's no Barnabas, there's no Ruth, the Lord steps in. One night, I dreamed a dream. As I was walking along the beach with my Lord, across the dark sky flashed scenes from my life. For each scene, I noticed two sets of footprints in the sand. One belonging to me, one to my Lord. After the last scene of my life flashed before me, I looked back at the footprints in the sand and I noticed that at many times along the path of my life, especially at the very lowest and the saddest times, there was only one set of footprints. This really troubled me. Do you get the Naomian attitude? God forsook me. This really troubled me, so I asked the Lord about it. Lord, you said once I decided to follow you, you'd walk with me all the way. But I noticed that during the saddest and most troublesome times of my life, there was only one set of footprints. I don't understand why, when I needed you the most, you would leave me. Naomi, just call me bitter. He whispered, my precious child, I love you. And I'll never leave you. Never, ever during your trials and testings. When you saw only one set of footprints, it was then that I carried you. Do you understand? The Lord is looking for Ruth's this morning. For Barnabas's. That carry people when they can't help themselves. The Lord needs you this morning. But He can't use you unless you trust Him first. You have to trust the Lord as Savior before He can fill you with His Spirit and give you the plan for your life. Maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor, I've never trusted Christ as my Savior. Could I encourage you to come this morning and trust Him like Ruth did? Maybe you're the only one in your family that's willing to trust Him. That was Ruth's circumstance. But then again, maybe you've been saved a long time ago. But you got caught up in life. And you see a Naomi, a Mara, a John Mark. And you just sort of back up and say, whoo, somebody needs to help him. What an attitude. And God goes like this. Will you help? Somebody has got to volunteer and say, I'll help. I'll be Ruth. I guarantee you, people in this room, you know some people. You know some Naomis. God is looking for some Ruths and some Barnabases. Will you be one this morning? Maybe it's just on your knees. Maybe you're too far away to really do much, but you can fast and pray and rattle heaven for people that can't pray for themselves. My uncle, my dad's brother, the foulest mouthed man I've ever met in my life, got saved the last week of his life in his mid-80s. I believe with all of my heart it's because he had two people in his family that were praying for him every day. At the end, God picked him up, took him home. What would have been like if he'd had no Barnabas? He'd have died and gone to hell. God's looking for for some Barnabas and Ruth this morning. Will you be one? Let's bow our heads forward to prayer this morning. We're going to sing verse of 635. I've decided to follow Jesus. If you've got somebody wayward in your family, are you willing to pick them up and carry them? Oh, they don't know it. Ruth didn't say, I'll pick you up and carry you, Naomi. She just did what was right and was faithful and provided and God blessed. It just happened to be her hap. The luck of the draw. No, it wasn't. It was the plan of God. Today, God needs some Ruths. We're going to have a word of prayer. We're going to stand to sing. If you're here today, let me ask you this question. How many of you, the Holy Spirit, touched your heart this morning and a name came across your mind about somebody that you might could pray for or help or be a blessing to? You're not going to get much out of it. They're Mara. But the Lord sort of brought somebody to your attention. Would you raise your hand all over the building? Pastor, pray for me. All over. That's right. Many hands. Yes. Folks, we're too caught up with what do I get out of it? Can you be a Ruth today? Can you be a Barnabas? We're going to stand to sing. Maybe you need to come to this altar and say, Lord, I volunteer. Lord, would you be what I need whenever I get trampled on? Lord, would you be what I need when I feel all alone and I'm carrying someone without help? Would you be with me? The Lord will. When those footprints in the sand go to one, He'll always be there with you. We're going to have a word of prayer. We're going to stand to sing. If you need to come this morning and talk with the Lord, could I encourage you to do that? Forget yourself. Let's learn to carry someone for the glory of the Lord. And the people said to Naomi, blessed be the Lord. That's why we do it. Not to get credit for ourselves. Not to look back and say, look what I did. But to say, Lord, look what you did. Lord Jesus, there are people in this room that have carried others. Lord, there's people doing right in this room because someone carried them over years on their knees. There's people in this room, Lord, that need to be carried. Could you give us some people? Lord, give us some Ruths. Lord, there's some people that are going through some difficult times. Would you give us some Ruths and Barnabases? Father, speak to hearts this morning. Those that are here that are not sure of salvation, if they die today, they don't know where they go to heaven. Give them the courage to come this morning. Lord, speak to their hearts. In your precious name I pray. Amen.